What did Jesus actually look like? Some artists have made attempts of drawing his picture, but the truth is, we don't actually know. Interestingly enough, today's topic that Brother Johnson will use in his sermon today is nothing in his appearance, based upon the Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. Each week, we present a gospel effort sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to share the good news of Jesus. First, we praise him with song.
Here I labor and toil as I look for a home, just a humble abode among men. While in heaven a mansion is waiting for me, and a gentle voice reading, come in. There's a mansion
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we humble ourselves before you as we bow in prayer with thanksgiving in our hearts for all that you do for us. We are especially thankful for the forgiveness that is found in Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much and giving him for our salvation. Please use the words of this program for your glory and not for our own. We are concerned about listeners, and we ask that you will bless them with the convictions, peace, and physical healing that they need. In closing, we ask that we will be found ready to see Jesus. Thank you for hearing us and allowing us to call you Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak to us on the topic, Nothing in His Appearance.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Nothing in His Appearance. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1 and 2. Please listen to the Word of God. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Our focus is on Jesus the Christ and his cross and resurrection. Resurrection out from amongst the dead. And that is to live forevermore. Others had been resurrected, but they died again. Jesus the Christ was raised in glorious exaltation, for God the Father accepted his atoning sacrifice, and he was raised from the dead, never to die again. He is alive today, forevermore. A youngster correctly described Jesus as God with skin. That we could say is the YKV, or young kids version. This is accurate according to Scripture. Consider the Colossian letter, chapter 2, and verse 9, that says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." The New International Version. Many have wondered, what did and what does Jesus look like? Some surmise, surely he was tall, dark, and handsome. Not according to Scripture. The Hebrew prophet Isaiah, who wrote about 700 years before Christ, prophesied regarding the Messiah and the suffering servant, in chapter 53, in verse 2, that says in part, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." meaning there was nothing beautiful or majestic in his physical appearance. He could have been handsome like a King David, but he was evidently not. This does not mean Messiah was ugly, only that he was rather ordinary, average, in physical appearance. His beauty and majesty is inward. Morally perfect, he never sinned. What attracted people to him were his supernatural acts, for example, of healing, and his compassion and kindness, and also his powerful words. No one spake like this man. In height, according to skeletal remains in archaeological excavations, the average male from Israel in roughly the 1st century AD stood at about 5 feet 5 inches tall. Jesus would have probably been of slight build due to the prevailing diet. He probably would have been brown-skinned, as were Jews from that region, probably with dark eyes and dark hair, and was bearded. Human wisdom would expect that God would have sent his Messiah into the world as a glorious conquering king. Not so, as according to Scripture. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Israel, to whom Messiah was sent first and foremost, predominantly despised and rejected him. He did not come as a conquering king, but instead as a suffering servant. He did not come to overthrow Israel's enemies, but to defeat mankind's enemies, that is, sin, Satan, and death. Messiah came the first time to earth not for a golden crown and his throne, but instead for a crown of thorns and his cross. The Messiah's strength was not as a Samson, but instead as a servant. In humility. Messiah in the lineage and dynasty of King David did not come as wealthy and with royal trappings. Instead, he was born into a poor family. This is verified in Scripture, as according to Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, which says, "When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons." This is further explained in Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 8 that says in part, "If she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons." Therefore, Joseph and Mary were poor peasants and yet obeyed the law as they could afford. Have you ever wondered what it may have been like for Jesus growing up in Galilee? In Nazareth, a Bible scholar writes of Galilee in the 1st century AD with these words, quote, "The smiling landscape of Lower Galilee, where Nazareth was located, invited the easier labor of the agriculturalist. Galilee, unlike much of Judea, was a more beautiful country. Finer hill, dale, and lake could scarcely be imagined. According to a rabbi, it was easier to rear a forest of olive trees in Galilee than one child in Judea. Grain grew in abundance. The grape, though not so plentiful as the olive oil, was rich and generous. Proverbially, all fruit grew in perfection, and altogether the cost of living was about 1/5 that in Jerusalem of Judea. According to Josephus, the Roman Jewish historian, about 240 towns and villages were found in Galilee, each with not less than 15,000 inhabitants, yielding a teeming, busy population of about 3.6 million in Galilee during the first century AD. And Galilee was not the home of the stern rabbis. Instead, Galileans were of a generous spirit, warm and impulsive hearts, of intense nationalism, of simple manners and earnest piety. End quote. A fitting summary of Jesus' growing up into manhood, of his silent years as a carpenter, is found in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Meaning Jesus in his humanity grew intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. Our perfect example that each of us should endeavor to do also. Imagine, picture in your mind's eye, the hands of Jesus the carpenter, the firstborn, oldest son of Mary. Scripture seems to suggest that Joseph, her husband, died leaving Jesus the carpenter to be the main breadwinner of a growing family of at least 8, probably more. This according to Matthew chapter 13 and verses 55 through 56. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? So Jesus the carpenter would have worked hard at his trade to support such a large family. His hands would have been strong, sure, sandpaper coarse, from working with wood and working with primitive hand tools. Tools would not have changed much over the centuries in ancient times. Consider Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 13 that says in part, "The carpenter measures with a line and makes an outline with a marker. He roughs it out with chisels and marks it with compasses." Carpenters in Jesus' time did not have lumber yards to purchase already cut and cleaned wood to craft to customer needs. So consider Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 14. Speaking of carpenters, "He cut down cedars, or perhaps took a cypress or oak. He let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted a pine, and the rain made it grow." Therefore, Jesus, until about the age of 30, was a manual labor carpenter and a lumberjack, and possibly a tree farmer with coarse, strong hands. Have you ever shaken hands with a carpenter? And that's today, with them using power tools predominantly. Referring to Jesus in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, it says in part, "Isn't this the carpenter?" Carpenter here in the original Greek language refers to a craftsman who worked in wood and could also work in other hard materials such as stones or bricks. So Jesus, over decades, would have crafted wooden animal yokes and tables, chairs, and utensils of wood of all kinds. Jesus also knew that the day would come when his arms and hands would be outstretched and nailed to a tree. This was necessary because of mankind's disobedience, which is sin, and the wages of sin is death. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." So a Messiah Savior was needed to come into the world and was prophesied thousands of years beforehand to die. Psalm 22 and verse 16. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Who could redeem? Who could ransom mankind from its sin and death? Only the Holy One, God's Son, who became God with skin in his incarnation, a man with a body and blood to offer himself on the cross as our substitute and Savior. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Through the wounds suffered on the tree that led to Christ's death, believers are healed spiritually from the deadly disease of sin, effectual for those who receive him by faith and accept his work on the cross on our behalf. For believers, physical healing will also come to pass upon glorification in our new bodies, when the mortal will put on immortality, the corrupt incorruption, and we look so forward to that day, when mourning, pain, and death will pass away, the old order of things, forever. However, dear listener, you must receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord through faith. And the faith that saves repents of sin, confesses Jesus as Lord, and in obedience is baptized, immersed into Christ to remain faithful to Him. Are you in Christ? Do you need to repent? Do you need to rededicate yourself to Christ? If so, do so today.
In God's family we find love.
It has been our blessing to hear about Jesus. Have you accepted Him as Savior and Lord in your life? It is important that you first truly believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. The book of Acts shows us that believers need to repent of sin, make a confession of faith in Jesus, and be baptized by immersion. If we can help you in your decision for Christ, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this program, request broadcast number 1927. That's 1927. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.